Welcome to The God Life with Pastor Dalapo Lawal, the lead pastor of the Zoe household. His desire is to bring you to the consciousness of the Zoe that has been made available to everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen and be equipped with the Word of God.
But yes, I just want to, you know, help us realign our focus on God and the reason why we are fasting. Yesterday I came live with Pastola, and then I said one or two things that I might reiterate again, just to give perspective and for importance, so we can see the importance. So let's turn our Bibles to Galatians chapter 5 verse 22. I want to say it again, Galatians chapter 5 verse 22. Okay, let's start from 16. Amen. Okay, 16. It says, then I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusted after the Spirit, and the Spirit against... For the flesh lusted against the Spirit, sorry. Ah, that's a serious thing. And the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, drunkenness, reviling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. All right, so this is a message that Paul always preached. He says, I've told you this thing, and I'm going to tell you again. These things, I've been saying it, and I'm saying it again. So that means that Paul never preached the gospel without preaching consecration. You can see, he said, you know, I've told you in times past. This is a letter, you know. So he says, when I was with you in Galatia, this is where the things I told you. I didn't just teach you about the fruit of the Spirit, but I also ensured that you were not unaware of the devices of the enemy. All right? Praise God. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And I said yesterday, or this morning, early this morning, that he says the fruit of the Spirit, and we all know that, not the fruits of the Spirit. So it means love, joy, long-suffering, the manifestation is the same. The manifestation is the same. And this is what I'm trying to say. That Paul says, concerning spiritual gifts, I will not have you ignorant, or concerning spirituals, actually, because everything that proceeds out of the Spirit is a gift. All right, the Spirit doesn't do anything to profit itself. So the manifestation of the Spirit in itself is the gifting of the Spirit. I hope that makes sense. So in the real text, what Paul actually said is, concerning spirituals, I will not have you ignorant. And this is what I'm trying to say. So all these things, the manifestation of the life of the Spirit in any situation is what is called faith. The manifestation of the life of the Spirit in any situation is what is called faith. So faith will be seeing things and doing things in line with what God said, which is the manifestation of the Spirit, because the Bible says, Jesus saying, he says, I will send you the Comforter, all right? And he will remind you of all things that I have told you. So what the Spirit does is to teach us, guide us into all truth, and to bring to our remembrance all the things that we have learned. So in any situation, the disposition of the Spirit in any situation is the disposition of faith. Why? The Spirit is unseen yet real. And that's the entirety of what faith is about. So anytime you are manifesting the disposition of the Spirit, that is what is called faith. So when the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So it means walking in the Spirit is walking in faith. Walking in faith is pleasing the Lord. I hope that makes sense. So every manifestation of the spirit or any disposition you have pertaining to the things of the spirit or bettered by the spirit is the disposition of faith. Any disposition that you have that is consistent with the disposition of the spirit is the disposition of faith. Walking in faith, it means walking in the spirit. To walk in faith means to walk in the spirit. So if the Bible says the fruit of the spirit is love, it means in a place where there is hatred, if you introduce love, you are walking in the spirit. And as you are walking in the spirit, you're walking in faith. So this means walking in love is faith. That means, let me explain. Now, Jesus says, love your enemies. Now your enemy is doing something wrong or doing evil against you. All right? The disposition of love is a disposition of faith in the word of God. Does that make sense? The disposition of love is the disposition of faith in the word of God because you're doing what the word said. All right? Faith is doing what God said to do, even against all odds. So the disposition of joy in a situation where you're supposed to be crying is faith, because the word of God commands, rejoice again, I say rejoice. So every time you're walking in love, you're walking in faith. Anytime you're walking in peace, you're walking in faith. Anytime you're rejoicing, you're walking in faith. I hope that makes sense. So anything, any manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit is what is called walking in faith. Because sometimes when we hear the word faith, we think it's just to change things. No, it's actually to yield to the Spirit. And I've explained that to us. To be in faith means to be in the will of God, to be in sync with the will of God. So if God wants you quiet and you're talking, you're not in faith. If God wants you talking and you are quiet, you are not in faith. It will be being in sync with the will of God per time pertaining to your life. Amen. All right. So we want to see how to focus our minds, our hearts again. It's been 14 days now, and I'm sure some of you've lost the enthusiasm. You know, these 21 days, I'm going to fast. I'm going to wait on God. It's me and God, me and my Father. And day one, day two, day three, day four, you first started by breaking by three. Then later you started from three, you moved to 12. And then before you know it, one morning you were not feeling like, you see? You didn't feel like fasting, so you didn't fast that day. And after you ate, you now started wishing you didn't eat. Then the next day, something, you continued again. Then before you know it, now you are here. All right? So we need to recalibrate. Let us bring our minds back. And that's why I'm preaching this message, all right? And the title of what I'm sharing with you is Focus. Focus, focus. We want to see what it means to focus. Okay, that's. Let me let that go. 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to read 42 to 46. 1 Kings chapter 18, 42 to 46. 1 Kings chapter 18, 42 to 46. It says, so Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. So what the context of this story is this. You know, Elijah had done a contest with the prophets of Baal. And then, you know, he told them, call your God, me, I'll call my God. They called their God did not answer. How dare you answer? For where? When Jehovah is around. Every other idol finds their level. Right? So after that one, then, you know, the children of Israel now are coming back to the Lord, and they are about to, you know, Elijah is about to end the famine that he declared. All right. So he told Ahab, go and eat and drink. And Ahab and Elijah went up to the Mount Carmel, the same place, you know, that they did the contest. And he cast himself down upon the earth and his face between his knees and said to his servants, go up now. Listen, the disposition of Elijah, I want you to notice, is position. his physical position to pray. His physical position to pray was not a prayer stature. It was a focus stature. Pay attention. The position that Elijah took was not a prayer stature. The Bible does not tell us that, and he knelt down and put his head between his knees as he always does. In the case of Jesus, the Bible says he went to the synagogue, and it was delivered to him the book of Isaiah, where he read as his custom was. All right, but this one is looking as though this was the disposition Elijah took in this situation, and this is what I'm saying, so you can see what I mean. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the Mount Carmel and cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. So the first thing that Elijah did is, I don't want to see anything other than the answer to my prayer. He didn't want to see what was going on in the clouds or in the sky. He put his head in a position to focus. He put his head in a position to focus on the reality of what he was creating. He was trying to create a climate. You cannot try to create a climate looking at another one. And that's something very important I want you to notice. And put himself upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look towards the sea. You see, he said, look towards the sea. So there is a positioning. Look towards the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. Then he said again, go again seven times. I know some people have preached that, you know, when you're walking in faith, you just declare once and you move on. Well, there are situations like that, all right, where you just declare in faith and you're like, you see this matter, I've handled it. But there is also, you know, the place Jesus was talking about, the wicked judge, not God, in Luke 18. He was speaking about importunity in prayer. There is a place of persistence. Now pay attention and get the dialectics. When it pertains to things that are immediate needs, all right, or when it pertains to you, a declaration can work. When it pertains to intercession, persistence is what will work. You will have to continue to plead your case because you are in the place of another person. So for you, a declaration, it could. But when it comes to intercession, it must be persistence. Persistence. The Bible says of Epaphras, Colossians 4 verse 12, Epaphras, a born servant of God, always laboring for you. So he didn't say he labored for you. He's always laboring for you fervently in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. Paul says, ever since the day we heard of your faith, we do not cease to pray for you. So the nature of intercession is that it's continuous. You can't say, I'm praying that the eyes of my father that is an unbeliever, his eyes will open to see the glorious light of the gospel. I decree and declare the eyes of my father will open in Jesus' name. No, it's intercession. You will have to continue to pray. Do you know why? Because peradventure, that your word took shape in the spirit, that person is not spiritually sensitive to pick signals from God, so the devil will steal it. You will have to continually keep planting those words until, you know, there is a manifestation. And so that's what is happening here. He sent the guy, go and check, and then the guy came back seven times. Can you imagine? So listen, let me try to paint a picture that you can relate with. Imagine you're praying for the sick. You laid hands the first time, it didn't work. He said, check yourself. He said, I'm the same. He prayed again, check yourself, I'm the same. He prayed again, check yourself, I'm the same. Listen, seven times does not mean that seven times is the number of perfection. Seven times means that Elijah was ready to try more than seven times, if need be. So the reason why the Bible told us the amount of times is so that we can see the persistence, not the number. So if it will take 1,000 times for the servant to go and come back and say, I see nothing, Elijah will keep saying, go and check. That's number one. Number two is this, he did not leave the prayer position because of the reports. Because things are not changing physically doesn't mean things are not changing. You have to understand that. He says, and it came to pass that the seventh time he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, see unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down that the rain stop thee not. This is how to, listen, this is the disposition of the mind of faith. He said, I see something small. Elijah said, ah, God starts big things with small things. Listen, you have to learn this. You have to learn this. You really, really have to learn this. God starts big things with small things. He's a big God. It will become big, but he will start small. Listen, the Bible says, do not despise the days of little beginnings. Let me tell you something. If you've not learned to see the workings of God in small things, you will miss the realities of the big and mighty things that he's doing. So God is about to save the world, but he comes in form of a baby. And then there is a process. You have to have that kind of mind. Some of you, the reason why you have not gone to another level in your walk with God is because the last one that God told you, you thought it was small. Listen, a big God doesn't talk small things. So if God is telling you, all I want for you to do is to do a... Some people, the instruction might be, let me give you an example with me. I knew that there was a call upon my life, but the instruction was to join sanitation department, which is weird, because what I should join is maybe Bible study circles. But that was the instruction, and it was a process for pruning in obedience. There is nothing as honorable as being in the will of God. That's what matters. See, if you are not Joshua and you are Caleb, and you become Joshua because you want to be a leader, even if you successfully lead the children of Israel into the promised land, you are still a failure. Let me explain something to you. Pay attention. I think this thing I want to say is very powerful. Jesus was born to die. Let me say that again. Jesus was born to die. He was born to die as sin. As sin. Jesus was born to die as sin. As sin. If Jesus had died holy and righteous, he would have been a failure. The idea was to die as sin. So if Jesus had lived a holy life and died, God said, die at 33. He said, no, I will not die at 33. Then he stayed till 120. And after that, in that 120 years, he did not sin. He did not do anything wrong. He still sinned. Because, listen, with God, God is purpose-driven, not activity-driven. So it's pertaining to instructions. Saul said, I didn't kill all the rams because I wanted to sacrifice them to you. God said, I don't care. I don't care if you wanted to sacrifice them to me. You disobeyed me. I said, kill everything. So you have to understand that this is instruction. And I think I explained that this morning. Sin is in the confines of disobeying God's word. Sin is not just sin. Say, is it a sin to sit down? It's not a sin to sit down. But if God says stand up and you sit, it's a sin. So that word sin is not generic. What can be sin for you might not be sin for me, because sin is in the confines of instructions. Let me give you an example. There is nothing that Adam and Eve could have done in that garden that would have been sin. The only sin was where the instruction was, don't eat. If Adam had killed Eve, we don't know if it would have been sin to God, because God didn't tell him, don't kill Eve. What God said was where the devil came to attack and tempt. So sin is in the confines of instruction, not activities. And that is so important. If God has committed something to you to do, you have to do it. If God puts a burden in your heart, you have to see it as, listen, the obedience to this and disobedience to this is the context is sin. And so it is serious. So there is no small thing. There is no big instruction. Elijah said, the guy said, I see something, you know, it's just like the ant. Elijah said, that's it. That's what we need. God starts big things in small ways. He said, tell Ahab to prepare the chariots and get thee, because the rain will stop thee. He started to call things that are not as though they were. He says, and it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black and clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezebel. And the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah. And he gathered up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Say a big amen. Now, another thing I want you to notice, or I want to bring to your attention today, is this. We must be aware of our tendencies to forget the benefits of God. The Bible is scattered with God reminding us not to forget where he brought us from. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 15. You have to be aware that you have a tendency to forget. We are quick to move on. We are quick to move on to the next thing. Oh yeah, now I'm trusting God for this. That one has come. Oh yeah, another request. Checklist. God has done one. God is 10. Let's move on. What about thanking him and seeing that because he did the former one, then he is faithful to do others? Listen, it's so important for you to take record of what God has done through the ages, because it reminds you of his faithfulness. Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 15. And remember that thou was a servant in the land of Egypt. They were actually slaves, Seth. And that the Lord thy God brought thee out hence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. God said, remember the mighty hand that I brought you out with. Listen, remember, you need to remember how you were before. Remember how it was a struggle to do spirituals. Remember how it was hard to live this life of Christ. Remember the ignorance. Think about it. Remember the times you didn't know what to do. It was as though you were at the end of the road. Remember. Remember those moments that it was as though nothing else. Can this ever pass? Listen, you passed through it. You passed through. You didn't stay there. You passed through, and now you're here. You have to remember. Remember those low moments and see where you are now. He that has begun a good work in you shall bring it to a perfection, a completion. You have to remember. You really have to remember. Remember the times you felt like this is the end. You are sick. You're down. Listen, some of us have been so sick that we actually thought we were going to die. Remember how God saved you, and now you're fine. So we must be aware that there is a tendency to forget as human beings. And the awareness that there is a tendency to forget should bring you to a consciousness of always counting your blessings. Say a big amen. We must be conscious to keep focus. What is focus? Focus means the center of interest or an activity. It means to set your eyes upon to see. Focus means to set your eyes upon to see. Now, what are we to focus on? What are we to focus on? All right, Colossians chapter 3 verse 2. Colossians, we're going to read some text here. I want you to see something. Colossians chapter 3 verse 2. What are we to focus on? Colossians chapter 3 verse 2. It says, set your affections on things above, not on the things on the earth. Listen, The reason why you're depressed is because you are looking down. And I've told you before, I think I've said this before. If you catch a chicken, no, if you catch an eagle in the mouth of a lion, before you blame the lion, ask the eagle, what were you doing on the ground? Let me tell you something. The safety of a goat is that he must remain in the barn. From the moment you leave the farm as a goat, you will be the answered prayer to a lion if you enter lion's den. God's safety is in the confines of where he puts you. The protection of God is in the confines of where he puts you. And where did he put you? The boundaries of his word. 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 That's so important. The arm of God to protect you is in the confines of where he has put you. If you go outside God's jurisdiction, where God did not send you, there will be no coverage for you there. And that is so important. And the scripture can come to mind. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Remember, it's a messianic psalm. It was speaking about the Christ. God told Jesus to go to hell for our salvation. So he was sent there. You have to understand that. You cannot just do anyhow. I hope what I'm saying is making sense. The confines of God's protection, all right, upon your life is in the context of where he has put you. If you're going to experience the realities of God's person, it will be in the confines of the possibilities he told you. You have to remain in the confines of his possibilities. Set your affections on things above. So God is saying, this is how you will be okay if you set your affections on things above. Affections means your emotions, your interests. If you invest your emotions on things that are not above, you're going to be disappointed. Set your affections. So listen, I need you to pay attention to this. So this scripture is the reason why God cannot be blamed for your heartbreak. Because in the real sense, God is expecting that the entirety of your emotions should be in the confines of who he has called you, not in who you are with. So you are whole in being with Christ, not being with a girl or being with a boy. Your affections must be there. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Let me show you an example of how Paul does it, or how Paul puts it. 2 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 13. We're going to read from 13 to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. Because that's the context. You know, chapter 4, chapter 5, they are all connected. So we have to read the context, all right? It says, we have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak, knowing that he that raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us also by Jesus, and present us with you. For all things are for thy sake, that the abundant grace, my true thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for a moment, worketh for us. Now, listen, I want you to notice what he means by our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh, all right, in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Let me find it. Okay, yeah. A far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are seen not. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are seen not are eternal. Are you seeing perspective? The things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are seen not are eternal. Now, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1. For we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have, if they were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Oh, this is so powerful. I can't wait to tell you what I want to say. If so be, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. So this is Paul's entire scope about life. He sees life as a temporal reality, and he sees the eternal as permanent. He sees life. What I mean life is the earth. So Paul says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. What is our light affliction? The light affliction is having a body. Do you understand this? Because he says, we are persecuted for your sake, that the abundance of grace might redound to the glory of God. All right, that's what we just read. Now, he now says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He says, for we look not at the things which are seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are seen not, for the things which are seen not are eternal. So this is what Paul is saying in essence. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we are reading chapter 4, 13, then we'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 to verse 4, all right? So this is what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, what you call a temporal, or for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, the light affliction, which is but for a moment, is being in a body. We just read it. Is being in a body. All right, and what he calls the exceeding and eternal weight of glory is this, that we are going to drop this mortality, and mortality is going to be swallowed up in life. So this is what Paul is saying. No matter what you are going through, you are a Christian, there is a better life in afterlife. Listen, it's a perspective to have. That, listen, so you have maybe your grandmother has cancer. As you are looking at her, Paul says there is a perspective to have. It's a perspective of comfort, not sympathy. Ah, I really wish I had time to preach. It's a perspective of comfort, not sympathy. What's the difference between comfort and sympathy? Sympathy is, she will die, and there's nothing to do. What is comfort? Comfort is, she's going to die, but I'm going to see her again. Because the Spirit of God will raise her up. Do you understand that? So comforting, the ministry of the Spirit, comforting is that there is hope. Sympathy is that, hey, I don't know what to do. So sorry. So in comfort, there is hope. In sympathy, what is producing sympathy is hopelessness. You can't help. Do you understand what I'm saying? So Paul is saying, listen, no matter what you are going through, there is a constant. There is something eternal. There is something permanent. And anything you go through in this life is still going to come to pass. Come to pass. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a mentality to have. It's a mindset to have. That, listen, no matter how much I cry, the book of Revelation 22 says we are going to a place where there will be no more tears. Listen, this is the hope. This is the hope. Listen, in life, the Bible says you will have troubles upon troubles. But there is a hope that we have in the eternal, in Christ Jesus. I hope that makes sense. So when it says, for a light affliction, which is but for a moment, the light affliction he's talking about is being in a body. So, in other words, Paul is telling you how he sets his mind on things above. So, Paul is hungry, like, Sakpa day. But I'm going to a place where Sakpa no go day. So, you can see why they were longing to die. This was their cogitation. No food. Don't worry. I'm going to a place where there will be wine and I will feast with my bridegroom. It's a mentality to have, and you must have it. So what are you focusing on? What are you focusing on? What's taking your attention? You have to understand that and redirect your focus. All right? Let's look at another scripture. Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 8 from verse 5 to 6, Romans chapter 8 from verse 5 to verse 6, Romans chapter 8 from verse 5 to verse 6. I want to rush now. It says, finally, okay, it says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit mind the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let me tell you something. If you are not enjoying peace, you are carnally minded. If you are troubled from one worry to another, you're being carnally minded. Let me read it to you again so you can see what I'm saying. It says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the evidence of your spirituality is that you are enjoying life and peace. If you are not enjoying peace, you are thinking carnally. You are carnally minded. That's what the Bible is saying. So from the moment you find yourself in anxiety, in worry, what you're doing is that you are being carnal. The Bible says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of him that has called you unto glory and virtue. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of peace, through the knowledge of him that has called you unto glory and virtue. So any man that is enjoying grace and peace is a man that has knowledge of him. If you don't know him, all right, grace and peace will not be multiplied. So the more you know Jesus, the more peace will not be added, but will be multiplied. So the evidence that you know Jesus is an expression of peace. So if you know Jesus is in your boat, and you know that Jesus is not supposed to die in a boat, but on a cross, no matter the storms, all right, that is shaking that boat, you will join him and sleep. You will just join him and sleep. It says, for to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So if you're going to enjoy a life of life and peace, all right? If you're going to enjoy a life of life and peace, you're going to definitely have to, you know, be spiritually minded. Now let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. 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 It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So let me tell you something, and I'm going to, you know, break your table small, but enjoy. Disclaimer, spoiler alert. You cannot have a sound mind by the first thing you do when you enter Instagram is go to Instablog. You can't have a sound mind. You are trusting God for a life partner, and the first thing you do, you first go and watch Bella Ninja weddings. You are not in control of your mind, right? You are giving influences the basis to be able to prepare you very well. You can't have a sound mind like that. You just enter Instagram, the first place you are going to is Instablog. Is Gossip Ninja. I don't know what they call all these things. Today at Notes. You can't just forget about sound mind. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things have good reports, all right? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's how you think. You don't listen. This is your mind. Let me explain something to you. One brother was having a conversation with me, and he said something about reincarnation. So I asked him a question. I said, you believe in reincarnation? He said, he does. He said, why don't I, you know? I said, I believe that Jesus is the incarnation of God, but that somebody lived and came back to life, I don't believe. And why do I believe Jesus is one? Jesus told us of things that happened before he was born. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus told us of things that happened in the Old Testament that we did not know. Let me give you an example. Jesus said there was a particular time that David entered into the holies of holies and ate the Shua bread. It's not in the Bible, but Jesus said it. How did Jesus know? He saw it. That means he was alive when David was doing it. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So the incarnation of Jesus is real incarnation. Why? Because he has the mind of God, even as an incarnation. So it's not like Jesus is not thinking like God, or Jesus is wondering what's going on. The same mind that he had eternally is the same mind that he had in body. Listen, if somebody is saying, I'm a reincarnation, the first question to ask is, what was your former name in your old life? You don't know. What was the name of your wife in your old life? You don't know. Where did you stay in your former life? You don't know. So how is that a reincarnation? Because what makes you you is your mind. Listen, your life, your essence, the essence to Dolakbo is what I'm thinking. If you change, I can change my face. I can become white. I can change my body. But when I talk, you will still be able to know that this is me. Because I can change everything. But changing my mind, it will be pertaining to teaching and instruction. So in the real sense, my mind is myself. My mind is myself. The Bible didn't say, be ye transformed by the changing of your body. That's why I don't gym. It says, be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. So your mind is yourself. That's where God is after. Listen, you are doing yourself harm if you are not taking this scripture very, very serious. Think on things that are true. Think on things that are honest. Think on things that are pure. Think on things that are lovely. Think on things that are of good reports. Those are the things you give your mind to. That's how to remain focused. Listen, I'm preaching to you now. By the time we finish this and you go on Instagram, you will hear another information. My hope is in, you know, eternal realities. You'll go and see somebody now. Somebody's son has gone to buy somebody a car. For a guy, you say, what am I doing in my life? For a girl, you say, which day will I ball like this? Look at you, bully. Focus starts with positioning. Alright? Focus starts with positioning. If you're going to focus, you have to position yourself. Focus. And it's opposite. The opposite of focus is distraction, all right? So focus and its opposite, distraction, can both be used for your favor. And they can both be used for your demerits. Focusing on bad things is distraction from good things. So whether distraction is not bad in itself, because I can have a pain and distract myself with the word of God to not focus on the pain. So distraction is a tool. These things are not bad in themselves, all right? So focusing on bad things is distraction from good things. And focusing on good things is distraction from bad things, all right? So distraction is not bad in itself. You must learn to use distraction as a tool. If your mind is focusing on bad things, then distract yourself. right? And this is the powerful thing I've noticed about focus. Seeing a focused person makes you interested in what they are looking at. And also, seeing a distracted person can distract you from your focus. So it's not enough that you want to focus. You have to position yourself around people in places that all of you are looking in the same direction. It's also important to understand that focus is the Bible way to overcome addictions. And I'm going to close with this, and then we're going to pray and realign our focus. Right, focus is also the Bible way to overcome addictions. Let's turn our Bibles to James chapter 1, verse 21. 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 We're going to read to 25. It says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. So, in the context of this word that he's talking about salvation for your soul. And I've said that before, all right? That we are saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. Our spirits, we are saved. Our mind is being saved because we are being transformed by the renewing of our mind, and our bodies will be saved. All right? So we are saved. Our spirits were saved, eternally saved. Our mind is being saved. All right? That's why some of the addictions, you're still going through them, because your mind is being saved. The word of God is transforming your mind, and then we will be saved, which is our body. So there is the past, there is the continuous, and then there is the future. All right? So in this context, when he says, receive the engrafted word of God with meekness, which is able to save your soul, is speaking about the transformation of your mind, because he says to lay aside filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. All right? But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. So anybody that is not doing the word is deceiving himself. Listen, why is he saying that? Anytime you are not doing the word of God, you are deceiving yourself. Let me explain that word to you. I have to tell you the Greek word so you can see. I like it. You need to see this. I like it. The Greek word is paralogizomai. Paralogizomai. What it means is like to the word is like caricature. It's like, okay, let me give you an example. Imagine I was not a preacher and I'm acting a movie and I'm preaching. So let me switch. Let me paint a picture. Today, I want to preach about what to do on Valentine's Day as a profound, marriage counselor. I've been married for 400 years or 40 years. Let me just use something real. I've been married for 40 years. I've seen so many marriages, you see, what I did just now, that thing I did just now is paralogizomai. I was doing something that was not me. I was acting. That's the word for deceiving your own self. To beguile. I was acting. I was deceiving myself. All right? I know I'm not a marriage counselor, but I said I was. Now, listen. And see why it's powerful. It says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. It means your real nature, pay attention, is to do the word of God. Anytime you are not doing the word of God, you are deceiving yourself. If you are not doing the word of God, you are deceiving yourself. So anytime you are doing the word of God, you are in tune with you. doing the word of God is being in tune with yourself. What that means is that your nature is to do the word of God, and disobedience is you acting. You are not being yourself. Sin, the practice of sin, is you not being yourself. You are beguiling yourself. You are deceiving yourself. You are acting outside your real person. He says, for he that beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straight away, okay, let me read it. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like a man, is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away, and straight away forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth, that's the word, and continueth, you have to continue, and continueth. Whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth, the word continue there is paramino. It means to abide, to stay near, or to remain. He that remains, listen, that's so powerful. I wish I could, you know, say it. I wish I was a good preacher. It says, he that looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth and remains in it, he is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So this is what he's saying, keep looking at it, remain. He that continueth, you have to continue. Okay, so I have an addiction. Keep looking at what the word of God says. That you are deceiving yourself. Keep seeing the real scripts. This is me. That's not me. I'm acting weird. This is it. You say, me, naturally I'm a liar. It's God that is. No, naturally you are not a liar. Lying is you deceiving yourself. Don't get it wrong. Normally, my normal self, I'm very angry. No, your normal self is not angry. Anger is the abnormal self. Anger is the deception. Do you understand this? The real you is not angry. And let me tell you something. To show you that the real you is not angry, you feel bad when you are angry. And when you are at peace or when you are patient, you feel good. Because good is the nature. Have you ever done something nice to someone before and you felt at peace with yourself, but you did something bad and now you're worried and troubled? Because the real you is good. It says, whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty. So listen to the context. The word of God is your liberation, is the perfect law of liberty to leave that deception. So when you're looking at the word of God, you're looking at your deliverance. You're looking at your freedom. You have to keep looking. You are looking at freedom. He that looketh, whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein and remains, abides, keep looking. And he's not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. So you cannot do. Let me show you. Oh, Zaho de Goshiri Mash. What a word God is speaking over us today. Thank you for utterance, Jesus. Look at Joshua. Somebody needs to put that for us. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. So that this can make sense. Let me read that. Somebody should put Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but whosoever shall look at into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Look at this. Joshua 1, verse 8. Let me wait for us to post that. Joshua 1, verse 8. Oh, thank you, Lord, for utterance. And I just pray for everyone watching in the name of Jesus that there is a supply of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. There is a supply of the Spirit concerning every matter, and the gift of utterance is given you right now in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Ghost. Let me read Joshua 1 verse 8 to you. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of, thank you, Simi, she has it for us. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein, all right, day and night. That thou, he didn't say and thou, he said that thou. So this is what he's saying. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. So how do I meditate on the word of God? It's not yoga. See, I'm meditating. The Bible tells you how to meditate. It should not depart out of your mouth. So you did something wrong. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. This is not me. I'm not a liar. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am not a jealous person. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have received the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit I manifest in my life. I'm not sorrowful. I cannot be depressed because the joy of the Lord is at work in me. The joy of the Lord. That's how to meditate on the word of God. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. So I meditate on God's word by speaking God's word. It says, but thou shalt meditate day and night, that thou. So listen, if you are not meditating or speaking the word of God, you will not be able to do. It says, that thou mayest observe to do. So how do I do the word of God? I start by talking the word of God. If I'm not talking the word of God, I won't be able to do the word of God. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate upon it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So if I'm not speaking my realities, I will not see my realities. So what the devil wants to do is you make a mistake. You say, I'm a sinner. He's getting you. Immediately you have to counter. That's not me. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I live according to the precepts of God's word for my life. Righteousness means that I've received the gift of God. I have access to his commonwealth. And before God, there is no sin. This is how you talk. As you're talking, you're meditating on the word of God. Praise Jesus. And you conform to those realities. All right. So this is what we are going to do now. We are going to talk. Focus. That's what we're going to do now. Let us begin to talk. Lift your voice. Let us begin to talk. Begin to speak. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate upon it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Begin to talk the word of God right now. Begin to talk the word of God over that addiction, over that pain, over your expectations. Bring that thing out. And begin to talk the word of God. Crash it, devil, for where? Disappointment with who? Begin to talk the word of God. There is something called holy anger. Roshika koriga de shida bandis. Ibrede shum brakte so palakato sandarege shide bahatish. Rombondo shide bokoris.